Good evening and welcome to the local news. Today is Wednesday, May 22nd. I'm Lauren Schmidt reporting for KMUD. In tonight's news, family of hit and run victim pleads for answers. Decades old mystery solved as human remains are identified. And Humboldt supervisors call for a Middle East ceasefire. Stay tuned, news on those stories and more coming right up. The Humboldt County Coroner's Office has positively identified human remains discovered in the Trinity River near Red Rock in Hoopa on May 18th as that of 19-year-old Rodney Joseph Viveiros Dawson Jr. of Fortuna, California. Dawson was reported missing to the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office on April 22nd after being swept away in the Trinity River near the Tishtang Campground. Search teams were unable to locate Dawson during a week-long search and rescue operation. Dawson's death has been ruled accidental, with the cause of death determined to be probable drowning. KMUD News extends our condolences to Dawson's family. Dakota Staffsling, 28 years old, was found deceased on Highway 101 near Piercy after a fatal hit-and-run on May 4th. The driver is still at large, and her family is continuing to search for answers.
You just sit every day with these thoughts in your head and trying to think of the scenario that she went through. In the last moment, you don't know. You're just like trying to figure out what happened.
That was Dakota's mother, Sandy Brown.
To never know is really difficult, and I know someone out there knows.
Nearly 3 weeks has gone by and the family is continuing to search for answers, asking the public for any information on the hours leading up to Dakota's death, which took place early morning May 4th. They are also seeking information on suspicious vehicles with newly acquired front end damage. According to the press release from the Garberville area CHP, quote, on May 4th, 2024, at approximately 2:45 a.m., the Humboldt County Communications Center received a 911 call of a pedestrian lying down in the lanes of northbound 101 near Piercy. The California Highway Patrol's Garberville area officers responded to the scene. Upon their arrival, officers located a pedestrian who had been struck by a vehicle. The pedestrian was pronounced deceased at the scene, and the involved vehicles did not stop or call 911 to report the incident. The decedent, Dakota Staffsling, 28 years old, resided in the Garberville Redway area. The California Highway Patrol's Garberville area is investigating the incident. Investigators are requesting assistance from the public. If you know anything regarding the involved vehicles or persons who may have been involved, they're asking you to contact the CHP Garberville area at 707-932-6100, end quote.
She was really funny at times, very energetic, and could make you laugh. She's just hilarious, the things she would come up with. She just got done with firefighting school. She had a job at a station. She was just ready to start and begin a new chapter in her life. And she wanted to keep going to college and keep taking courses. And she wanted to better her life. She was just a fun person. You know, no one's perfect. Everyone has problems. It just seems still like it's not real.
Again, anyone with information can contact the Garberville area CHP at 707-932-6100 during business hours, or Officer Rodriguez's cell phone at 707-223-2191. KMUD News would like to extend our sincere condolences to Dakota's family. Humboldt County's Board of Supervisors has approved a resolution supporting an end to violence in the Middle East. KMUD's Daniel Mintz reports.
Taking a lead from the city of Arcata, Humboldt County's Board of Supervisors is opposing warfare with a resolution for peace in response to the Middle East crisis. Israel's actions in Gaza in response to the October 7th Hamas massacre have drawn passionate reactions, compelling supervisors to take up the resolution at their May 21st meeting. Supervisor Steve Madrone, its sponsor, said given the intensity of conflict, he believes, quote, it's important to at least make a statement about peace. He said the resolution is the same as one approved by the Arcata City Council. The resolution says, quote, there has been intolerable innocent death and destruction in the Middle East before and since October 7th, 2023, and there has been far too much division in our community. Two of its main requests are, quote, an immediate, mutual, and permanent ceasefire and total cessation of violence by all parties involved, and a mutual exchange of all hostages and civilian political prisoners. During public comment, Joanne McGarry, who said she was very involved in supporting Arcata's resolution, said Humboldt is joining the many, calling for an end to conflict. And she emphasized the point in song.
I've been thinking about Pete Seeger a lot lately, and what Pete Seeger was really great at was using music to get the message out. So I'm going to close with a little passage from a song Pete sang all the time. Last night I had the strangest dream I've ever dreamed before. I dreamed that all the world had said to put an end to war. Please join in the movement. Ceasefire in Gaza and in all of Palestine.
McGarry also noted that the Arcata resolution's title specifically names, quote, the Israel-Palestine conflict, and asked that the counties do the same. Other commenters strongly condemned Israel's actions. One stood at the podium with a small body-shaped bag labeled Children of Gaza and accused Israel of, quote, total genocide. But Luda Belcher said he lived in Israel when Hamas came to power in 2007 and urged support for Israel.
War is horrific. Who would not agree with this? But let's keep in mind what we're dealing with here. Hamas is an organization that is sworn to destroy the Jewish people and Israel. Make no doubt about it. Israel should be commended for its virtue in the way it's executed this, not condemned. I commend you on wanting peace, and I commend these people for their feelings. I don't think they understand exactly what they're talking about. And as far as genocide goes, I think they should look up the definition.
Supervisors mostly supported the resolution, but to varying degrees. Supervisor Mike Wilson said he supported Arcata's and is open to adopting its title. Supervisor Natalie Arroyo said she appreciates being able to, quote, speak up for the values of peace, but also acknowledged that the Middle East is incredibly complex, and she's in the process of learning about it. Board Chair Rex Bone described the resolution as being too bland to oppose.
I'll vote for this for no other reason that there isn't anything you can stick your fork into on this. This is probably one of the most benign statements that we want peace. We want all the hostages to go home. We want them all to play nice. And I mean, it's as much tapioca as I can see here, just saying, and it's the normal things. Don't kill other people. Play nice. Follow the rules. Let everybody go home.
Supervisor Michelle Bushnell said she supports the peace statement absolutely, but, quote, it doesn't capture everything, adding, there's a lot of history and a lot to know and a lot to learn. The resolution was approved with Bushnell abstaining from the vote. In Eureka for KMUD News, this is Daniel Mintz.
The Humboldt County Sheriff's Office has utilized DNA technology to identify remains discovered in 2006 as Freddie Earl Long, born on April 13, 1943. In October 2006, Timber Company employees located a skull on Green Diamond property near Old Railroad Grade Road in the Fieldbrook area. Deputies and detectives responded discovering additional skeletal remains, clothing, and various personal items, including a pair of binoculars, car keys, a green nylon jacket liner, and several lighters. That's according to a report by John Driscoll in the Times Standard in 2006. Notably, in that same report, it was stated that law enforcement officials initially thought the skull belonged to Lana Ray Anhelel, who was found murdered and decapitated in the same vicinity in 1996. Her husband, a Humboldt State University physical education instructor, was later found guilty of her murder. However, the skull was determined to not be a match for Lana, and the owner remained a mystery for 18 years, until now. KMA News spoke with Detective Mike Fridley in the Cold Case Unit with the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office.
Mostly a lot of these are older homicides, the cold homicides, so we work on those. And then through the years, we've recovered body parts, ended up with over 20 body parts that we'd recovered that we'd never been able to identify, you know, on the beach or in the river or stuff like that. So this new technology, the genealogy technology just started in the last few years. I mean, they could take the parts that you found, pull the DNA out of them, and run it against these genealogy sites. Some of the genealogy sites allow law enforcement to use them, and those are the ones they compare it to. And the company that we're using is called Oathroom, and then they run the DNA through the sites, and then they send us a report, hopefully with the closest family member to the body parts that you found.
In 2022, the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office partnered with Oathroom Inc., a company that specializes in forensic genetic genealogy, to submit DNA for forensic genome sequencing. To date, Oathroom has helped to solve 5 of Humboldt County's cold cases, involving John and Jane Doe's.
Over the years, over 20 different cases involving body parts that we've been trying to identify. So this, I've been slowly picking away at these old cases. The longest one oldest one we did was a guy that was body parts that recovered in 1968.
With the new DNA profile, the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office conducted a genealogy investigation and determined that the remains belonged to Freddie Long. The closest living relative to Long was contacted and provided a DNA sample for confirmation.
Yeah, this is a guy that we identified as Freddie Earl Long. He was found in 2006 on a lumber company property near Fieldbrook. Skeletal remains, and we've never been able to identify the remains. And we recently sent them to our genealogy site, and it came back with a match to his family members. And we did some research on that. We're able to locate him and confirm through DNA from family members that this was Freddie Earl Long.
The relative also confirmed that Long disappeared around 1993. However, he had never been reported missing to authorities.
Yeah, we've had a couple of these that the people have never been reported missing. A lot of them are like, well, he's living his life, and maybe he cut off communication with the family, and they just didn't really think that they were missing.
Freddie Long, age 50 at the time of his disappearance, was last known to be living in the area of Big Bar, California. Long may have gone by the alias Cowboy Fred. Due to the limited information about Long around the time he went missing, the Sheriff's Office is requesting anyone with information about this case to contact Detective Daniel Vickman at 707-445-7251. Detective Fridley says his goal is to identify the Sheriff's Office's entire inventory of unidentified remains, which can be cost prohibitive, each sample costing thousands of dollars. The Sheriff's Office was using asset forfeiture funds to pay for tests, but recently received a grant from Congressman Huffman.
My goal is to get through all these cases. Oathroom, the company we use, they crowdsource some cases. We got lucky and got a grant from Huffman's office that's going to pay for clearing out our whole complete library of unidentified human remains. So that's how we're working on the rest of this.
Detective Fridley, a former lieutenant with the sheriff's office, retired, but returned to work in the cold case department due to its rewarding nature.
Solved a case last year. It was a gal named Denise Cruz, and we found her body in 1980. And last week, the family came here and recovered her remains and are taking them back to be buried with the rest of the family. So that's kind of a satisfying conclusion.
To report information about other missing persons or unsolved homicides, you can contact investigator Mike Fridley.
They can call me and leave an anonymous message. Any, like you said, any information could move a cold homicide that we've been kind of stuck on if somebody called us. And my number is 707-441-3024. And that goes straight to my desk. You can leave an anonymous tip. If you have any information on any of the cases that we have listed on our website, please call me and we will look into the and following up on it and see if it can take us somewhere.
A list of the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office's current cold cases is available online at humboldtgov.org. Turning to Mendocino, in Mendocino County elections, the Secretary of State has issued a decision about integrated voting systems, a company with a long history of election mishaps that sent voters the wrong ballots back in February. Sarah Reith reports.
The ballot printing service that botched the ballots for the primary election in Mendocino County has lost its certification as a ballot printer in the state of California, according to a letter from the Secretary of State dated May 17th. The company contends that it did not violate state code and has indicated that it's preparing to litigate. Katrina Bartlame, the Assessor, Clerk, Recorder, Registrar of Voters, reported to the Board of Supervisors Tuesday.
Some news that I thought was quite important was I received a phone call from the Secretary of State's office on Friday, May 17th. To let me know that IVS, Integrated Voting Systems, has been decertified from a California certified ballot printer. IVS also contacted me. They're appealing this decision through their attorneys. We have been in talks with a couple other California certified ballot printers to see, you know, their numbers and samples that they do. And so we are working on that and have been working on that.
Integrated Voting Systems, the vendor Bartlame has been working with for 15 years, sent over 52,000 incorrectly printed ballots for the March primary election to Mendocino County voters in February. Integrated sent out replacement ballots at no extra cost to the county. But then 177 voters received ballots for the wrong district because the voter rolls had not been fully updated following the 2020 census. Those voters received another round of replacement ballots, meaning some people, like George McCord in Redwood Valley, got a total of 3 ballots. And some, like Dolly Brown in Redwood Valley, who is not a Republican, only ever got the first ballot.
I certainly didn't get a replacement ballot, so anyway, yeah, it's a mess.
In the end, 45.5% of the eligible voters in Mendocino County cast a ballot. It was not a smooth process. On February 5th, Integrated Voting Systems, the contractor the county uses for its all-mail-in elections, sent Republican ballots for the first supervisorial district to every registered voter in the county. According to Weber's letter and a county press release, Integrated hired a third-party vendor to add tint and watermark images to the ballot layout. That individual uploaded a test file image of the first district GOP ballot, which Integrated then printed and sent out, instead of the correct live ballot images. The State Department's letter says that Integrated Voting Solutions' internal quality control check did not catch the issue because the header fields, watermark, and barcodes on all of the ballots were displaying correctly. The letter is addressed to Integrated Voting Systems, Inc., doing business as Integrated Voting Solutions. The name change followed a business shakeup at the company, which has botched elections in other parts of the western United States. In 2018, after Integrated sent the wrong ballots to voters in Montrose County, Colorado, forcing a manual recount, the Daily Sentinel in Grand Junction, Colorado, investigated the company. The paper found that at that time, Integrated Voting Systems shared employees, addresses, and clientele with another company called Integrated Voting Solutions, which had declared bankruptcy. According to the Sentinel, the owners, Eric and Rhonda Kozlowski, had over $15 million in debt, including taxes and lawsuit settlements. In 2020, according to the Salt Lake Tribune, Integrated Voting Systems sent out 13,000 ballots with missing signature lines to voters in San Pete County, Utah. That article also reported a similar error in a municipal election in Sevier County. Last year, the Pikes Peak Courier reported that Integrated Voting Systems sent out 14,812 incorrect ballots to voters in Teller County, Colorado. And last year, a representative from another ballot printing service alerted Bartlemay that California's Fresno County had broken its contract with Integrated due to the company's spotty record in other states. Bartlemay sent an article about the decision to her contact at Integrated, who does not appear to have responded via email. Now, Shirley Weber, the California Secretary of State, has fined Integrated $1,000 and revoked its status as a certified ballot printer, saying the company committed two violations. Weber wrote that Integrated violated the state elections code by failing to notify her office about the ballot printing error within two business days. Instead, Bartlemay contacted the state, which then requested an account from Integrated about what had happened. Amanda Walter, the Mendocino County Assistant Clerk Recorder Registrar of Voters, sent an email to an Integrated representative at 4:38 in the afternoon of February 7th, alerting her that voters were reporting they had gotten the wrong ballots. The county notified the Secretary of State the next day, and Rodney Rodriguez, from the Secretary of State's office, contacted Integrated the same day. Integrated had more than one glitch with a subcontractor, according to Weber's letter. Because of a late delivery from the vendor responsible for providing the envelopes, Integrated sent out replacement ballots on Tuesday, February 13th, 4 days later than was originally planned. Weber wrote that Integrated also violated the California Code of Regulations by failing to notify her office about its use of the third-party vendor to apply the ballot tints and watermarks on the ballots. She wrote that this third-party vendor was not certified by the Secretary of State to perform any part of the ballot printing process for California ballots. Integrated disagrees with the Secretary of State's action and appears prepared to fight it. Eric Kozlowski, the CEO of Integrated, shared a letter the company's legal counsel sent to Weber, a response which is, quote, pending the involvement of litigation counsel for IVS to formally object to such revocation. The attorney, Robin Israelian, asserted that, quote, IVS provided a written response to the Secretary of State on Friday, February 9th, 2024. This response was submitted within 48 hours of the time IVS became aware of the issue and constituted the required written notification to the Secretary of State under California Elections Code. I submit that the conduct of IVS in this matter does not violate the California Elections Code. The letter also objects to the use of the term third-party vendor, saying the individual in charge of the watermarks and ballot tints is a contracted IVS employee named Justin Elder, who works under IVS's certification. Having argued that there is no violation, Israelian concluded by requesting that the California Secretary of State retract its May 17, 2024 revocation of IVS's status as a certified ballot printer for California. Reporting for KMUD News, I'm Sarah Reith.
KMUD's Matt LaFever brings the latest headlines from Mendocino County, where an Oakland woman has gone missing along the coast. An innovative startup hopes to make local acorns the next nutritional food fad, and a local gallery celebrates the power of portraits.
This is Matt LaFever with the headlines out of Mendocino County for Wednesday, May 22nd, 2024. Today's top story comes from the Mendocino County Coast, where authorities are intensifying their search for a missing 70-year-old woman. Elizabeth Shank, a resident of Oakland, California, was reported missing on Tuesday after a walk near Brule Point Road, just north of Fort Bragg. Here's what we know so far. It was around 9:30 a.m. on May 21st when Shank made a distressing phone call to a friend. She had gone for a walk on a nearby logging road and found herself lost. Describing her surroundings, she mentioned a nearby gate and asked for directions. Despite the guidance she received, she did not return. By 11 a.m., concern was mounting. Shank's friend, unable to reach her by phone and worried about her well-being, enlisted the help of neighbors to search the area. After hours of fruitless searching, they contacted the Mendocino County Sheriff's Office at approximately 4:47 p.m. With Shank classified as an at-risk missing person due to her numerous pre-existing medical conditions, the Sheriff's Office quickly mobilized a comprehensive search effort. Deputies were joined by regional law enforcement, fire personnel, and search and rescue teams. The California Highway Patrol, Westport Volunteer Fire Department, and CAL FIRE all participated in the search, which continued overnight. On the morning of May 22nd, a helicopter from the California Highway Patrol's Northern Division Air Operations in Redding was brought in to aid the search from above. Despite these extensive efforts, Shank remains missing. Elizabeth Shank from Oakland, California is described as a white female, 70 years old, 5 feet 5 inches tall, weighing around 150 pounds with graying brown hair and blue eyes. She was last seen in a white sweater, white vest, and white jeans. If you or any member of the public has any information that could help locate Elizabeth Shank, please call the Mendocino County Sheriff's Office Dispatch Center at 707-463-4086. Now let's turn to a transformative initiative in sustainable agriculture right here in rural California. Manzanita Cooperative, a majority worker-owned cooperative based in Mendocino, is leading a groundbreaking effort to revolutionize food systems with a focus on native climate-adapted crops. Manzanita Cooperative's mission is threefold: economic vitality, environmental stewardship, and social equity. By developing new foods from drought-resistant native species, they aim to build food security and biodiversity. Jed Wheeler, CEO of Manzanita Cooperative, explains their innovative approach. Quote, "We are reshaping conventional agriculture by bringing the abundant native foods of our region to the mainstream. California has the best food-grade acorns in the world, but no acorn industry to speak of. We're going to change that." Their new processing facility in Mendocino County is set to become the largest producer of acorn products in the United States, with a starting capacity of around 2,000 pounds per day. This facility will employ 15 worker owners initially, with plans to expand to 85 by 2030, providing much-needed jobs in the economically depressed North Coast region. CEO Jed Wheeler said, quote, "Acorns offer better nutritional density than many grains and are a sustainable, climate-adapted crop. They provide protein, complex carbs, healthy fats, and essential minerals. They're also low glycemic and beneficial for the microbiome, lungs, liver, and heart." Unquote. Manzanita Cooperative isn't just focusing on acorns. Other native nuts like bay nut, hazelnut, and pine nut are also part of their expansion plans. Their wild food program operates through ethical partnerships with landowners and Native American communities, ensuring sustainable foraging practices. As interest in locally sourced, healthful foods continues to grow, Manzanita Cooperative is poised to meet this demand while fostering ecological balance and social justice. They're currently seeking $250,000 in additional funding to support the launch of their brand and further their mission. Investors interested in this pioneering movement can contact invest at manzanita.coop. Now let's turn to Ukiah, where art enthusiasts have something to look forward to this June. The Deep Valley Arts Collective is proud to announce their latest group art exhibition titled Portraits, set to open at the Medium Art Gallery from June 7th through June 29th, 2024. Portraits will showcase how artists capture the essence, stories, and emotions of individuals through their unique interpretations. This exhibition includes works in all mediums, celebrating the power of the human face to convey deep connections and universal stories. The opening reception takes place during the First Friday Art Walk on June 7th from 5 to 8 p.m. It's a perfect opportunity to support the local arts in your community. And that's the latest from Mendocino County. I'm Matt Lefevre in Hopland, reporting for KMUD News.
That's all for tonight's broadcast. Thank you for listening. Thanks to our engineer, Larry Lashley. And thanks to our reporters, Daniel Mintz, Sarah Reith, Matt Lefevre, Suzanne Potter, and Liza Kramer. Reporting from our studio in Redway, I'm Lauren Schmidt.